Good morning and welcome into another episode of Big Talk, college sports with a Midwest perspective, blue collar and blue blood. I'm Dalton Shetler with my partner Sam Sprunger, and Sam's feeling a little bit more zanier on this Friday. He says he's got something up his sleeve.
It's Friday, and I was, before you came into the studio to get going this morning, I was surfing the social media, and it will be posted here on Big Talk's Facebook here shortly. But there is a school in Illinois where the seniors decided they were going to play a prank on the principal. Okay. And they hired a bagpipe player to follow the principal around the school portion of the day. It was great because you see this guy walking, this guy's playing the bagpipes, and the principal's standing there going, what in the world is going on here? And then he walks and he follows him, and he's like, he doesn't know what to do. So he walks outside, the bagpipe player goes and follows him out there playing. It is fantastic.
I'm going to have to pull that up. That's a genius idea.
Well, it's one of those that you can't get mad at him because it's loud, because that's what bagpipes are. So, and I'm sure they didn't have, well, I don't know. I would be almost positive that it wouldn't be all day long, but they hired him for an hour or whatever, you know, to follow him around for an hour so they could record it. It's just, I wish I'd have thought of something like that when I was a senior in high school.
That's a great idea, but don't get any ideas for this podcast.
Oh, if you hire a bagpiper to follow me around, I will skip with the gentleman arm in arm. Like that's how much I will embrace that. So go ahead. Oh, I don't care. Shoot.
But that's
if you send him to my office, I work from home, so nobody's gonna hear it other than the dogs.
Just you and him vibing out for a little bit.
Yeah, sure. And I'd record it.
All right, so for this week's episode, Sam and I were talking, the news is starting to die down a little bit with Big Ten sports, but Big Ten softball tournament did come and go this past week. Michigan won its 11th tournament title this past week.
Against IU, of all time.
IU had a heck of a run.
Yes, they did.
Made it to the championship game. They pulled off the upset against number one seed Northwestern. Played an excellent tournament. They were kind of the Cinderella fun team that everybody was following for a little bit. And they make their way to the NCAA tournament. There's four teams from the Big Ten that are going to the NCAA tournament. Those are two of them. So that'll be interesting to see and, of course, fun to watch. Meanwhile, Big Ten baseball is coming down the home stretch of the regular season.
Last weekend.
We got a race to Omaha right now because, of course, baseball and softball are a little bit different with the postseason formats for the Big Ten Conference. In Big Ten softball, 12 of the 14 teams are going to make it into that tournament. In baseball, 8 of the 14 teams make it in, and you've got a bit of a cluster down there around that 8 spot. So there's a lot of results that'll determine who fills out the rest of the field here shortly.
Well, and Purdue just yesterday clinched their spot in the tournament, and they're third in the conference. So, like, that's how much how crazy that conglomeration of teams number three down is, because they literally just secured yesterday against Illinois. Even though they lost, they secured their spot in the tournament, which is amazing to think. First off, Illinois wasn't expected to be the conference. They haven't secured it, but if they win, I think today, maybe they clinch the Big Ten title, and nobody expected Illinois to be the conference champion.
So Illinois sits at 16-6 at the top. Nebraska's in second at 15-7. Indiana and Michigan are tied for third, at 14-9. Purdue is a half game back, so they're in fifth at 13-9. Mm-hmm. Iowa is in sixth at 14-10. Ohio State's in seventh at 11-11. Then you have a current three-way tie for eighth place right now, that final team to make it into the tournament. Maryland, Penn State, Michigan State, all 10-12. So things are really heating up. It's going to be pretty interesting this week.
I have no ambition to try to be the person that tries to figure out the tiebreakers either. I have no ambition for that.
You have to take an afternoon to try and figure all that out.
That's the crazy thing is you know, you always see these you know, scenarios or whatever in whatever sport it is, wherever there's tiebreakers. And we've seen it with the Big Ten West when it was existent in football, where, you know, they had scenarios where 5 of the 7 teams could still win the, like, I don't want to figure that out. I God bless the people that do, because there is nothing that I want to do when it comes to trying to figure out if it's as simple as, oh, how'd they do head to head? Okay, I can figure that out. I don't tell they played on a Tuesday, so that there gives them the advantage, or the no, just tell me. Let a computer or let you do it, and then you tell me.
Well, the good news is in 2 days you're just gonna have your answers, because
there you go. And you know, maybe I'll just live oblivious to it all, and then there it is. Hey, look, we've got our Big Ten tournament in baseball.
That's hilarious. So that's what's kind of happening with Big Ten athletics. Of course, you have some of the other spring sports taking place with lacrosse. And, of course, Northwestern women's lacrosse doing great. A lot going on there. But the biggest news, I suppose, from the Big Ten this week, Sam, I think you'd agree, was the retirement announcement of Iowa women's basketball head coach Lisa Bluter, who's been at Iowa for a very long time. I mean, she is as
probably longer than you've been alive, or close to it, right?
It's close.
I was going to say,
for sure, close. But she went to back to back NCAA title games these past 2 years. Coached countless All Big Ten performers. Won 7 Big Ten titles, 2 in the regular season, 5 in the tournament. Has more Big Ten regular season conference wins than any Big Ten women's basketball coach in history. Like, the accomplishment and resume is so long. But we now got to see one of the Big Ten's best ever hang it up at the end of this past season.
Did we anticipate this? I you have your finger on the women's basketball pulse a little bit, way more than anybody I know, but way more than I know too, you know. That but was this anticipated with Caitlin Clark moving on, that this might be the end of the line for her?
Well, I think, and again, we haven't really heard much from Lisa. She hasn't talked a lot since she has retired. But I think if you're looking at it just from a common sense standpoint, you've been doing it for however long. I mean, coaching's been her entire career since she quit playing and whatnot. You just had a generational talent leave. And, like, the early reports are that it has nothing to do with Caitlin leaving or whatever. But, I mean, if you're just looking at it from a common sense standpoint, and that's really all I can kind of go off of, it kind of makes sense. Like,
I'm not even saying that it's once she was gone. It was just, okay, I've reached the pinnacle kind of where I'm going to be. I'm kind of on that backside of my career. I've been doing this for a very, very long time. I just don't have it in me to restart. And whether you think it or not, this is going to be a bit of a rebuild, because one of the, if not the greatest women's basketball players of all times just left your program, you know, and then is it one of those that I just don't have it in me to start rebuilding another program? Not that she can't do it, but she's at that age where it's like, okay, it's time.
Or I think of, see, and that's interesting, and this is actually where I think this conversation grows some legs, is it didn't come off to me as I don't have it in me. It came off to me as I'm satisfied.
Okay.
We've evolved and transformed an entire sport in its popularity. We played a game at a football stadium for women's basketball where 55,000 showed out. We had season-long sellouts at home, on the road. I mean, we saw everything right in front of our own eyes transform and evolve into something that was unimaginable just a few years back. And you made it to the very top of the sport 2 years in a row, playing in the national championship game. I think there's a satisfaction and a fulfillment of, there's nothing else I really need out of this game. I'm content. Like, that's where my mind went.
Is there, and I, again, don't know. That's why I'm asking, and I'm just going from the common fan's stance. Is there a chance she follows the McCaffreys to Indiana and becomes a coach with the Fever? Like an assistant, a special assistant. I don't know.
I've been seeing that rumored and speculated. I don't think so. I think she's good. I think, well, and the other thing to keep in mind here too, that we haven't even talked about yet, is with her retiring, now being elevated to the head coaching position for Iowa women's basketball, is Jan Jensen, who was under Lisa Bluter's mentorship, or however you want to put it. She was the associate head coach for her for 24 years. I mean, since the year 2000, she played for Lisa Bluter at Drake. And I believe Jan said during her introductory press conference that Lisa will hang around some as kind of like an advisor and help out in some different ways.
So in other words, she's going to have an office like Mike Krzyzewski does at Duke.
Right. No, but I think Lisa's heavily invested into making sure that Jan has everything she needs or wants from her to make sure that that takes off the right way, because that's a cool story too. The fact that Jan Jensen's been there for a couple of decades.
She's stuck around. I'm sure she's had opportunities.
As she said during her introductory press conference, she had double digit plus opportunities to leave and be a head coach somewhere else, but she stayed at Iowa. From Iowa, of course, played at Drake.
Right.
It's just kind of fell in love with the place and never wanted to leave. And now she gets this opportunity. So I think Lisa and her relationship will keep Lisa around to make sure that that's set up for success.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that, you know, Lisa Bluter only was, you know, has hung her whole entire career on just what Caitlin Clark has done. I just think there are opportunity, but you know, Iowa was her baby before Caitlin Clark was even thought of being in the program. So I know that it means something to her. I just thought maybe, okay, she's gotten to that point where she doesn't want to, you know, run the program. You know, her replacement's been there. She knows how things go, you know, and how Iowa has established their program. So she's going to carry it on probably relatively close to what Lisa had done. So I thought maybe Lisa was seeing, okay, maybe there's some opportunities that, you know, hey, I don't have to live in Indiana or move to Indianapolis, but during the season I could go be an associate or like a special assistant or something. But she still loves Iowa, so I could see her, you know, sticking around and you know, helping the program continually succeed.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of how it goes. I don't think she – I think if she still had any ambition to coach, like people are doing with the rumor mill and speculating, like with the Fever, I think she'd still be at Iowa.
Yeah,
I
mean, okay.
That's my read on it. But
well, congratulations to her to realize the point where she can retire and not have to – worry about the program she's leaving not being in good hands and, you know, things like that. Because, you know, people like, you know, all greats worry about how it's going to succeed afterwards, because, you know, they succeed for a reason and they want to make sure that the program is left in good hands. So the fact that she felt comfortable enough and having an assistant like she had for so long to be able to take over, it made sense for her to take over the program.
And like we said, besides just the accomplishments that came with on the court, I mean, truly, this Iowa team did revolutionize the popularity of women's basketball and with all the sellouts, the TV ratings, where you're getting a peak audience of 24 million people to watch the championship game between Iowa and South Carolina, them playing at a football stadium. Like, all those things really matter when you talk about the legacy of Lisa Bluter and what this Iowa program did in the last couple of years. And I think that's a big thing of what we remember. And I remember in an interview with her a couple years back, asking her what her legacy she wants it to be. And she had said that she wanted to be known for impacting people and doing things the right way. She wanted to impact young women, young girls, inspire them. And look, if that was the goal from day one, Lisa, you passed with flying colors. I mean, it's simply amazing what has happened in the last couple of years to women's basketball. And I also think, too, this kind of gets lost in the shuffle, Sam. For Caitlin Clark to be great, it took some trust and faith from a coach to just toss her the keys and say, you know what, you pull up from 40 feet, we're good with that. Like,
you'll hit it more times than not.
Yeah. And Lisa had the right read on it early on, and she understood it. And that allowed this to blossom into what we've experienced this ride the last couple of years. So Lisa Bluter deserves so much credit in so many different ways. But if her goal was to inspire and impact young women, I don't know how She could have done it any better than what we've experienced.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, when we were talking, you know, early in the early days when of Big Talk, when it was still Big 10 plus 4, I believe, when she ended up becoming the winningest coach in Big 10 history on the women's side, didn't you say she got this job because her neighbor told her about the job from an ad in the newspaper? She had no ambition to do it, and she heard about it from her neighbor, and she applied, and she got the job.
That's she started her career. I don't think that was direct to the Iowa job. Mm. I believe.
Okay.
That was to the St. Ambrose University job.
Okay, so it was just her coaching career, but
yeah. That's if memory serves right, I think she like first, if I recall, first kind of discovered what a GA position was, and she was like, "Oh, you could get your master's and do this. Yeah, let's do that. Let's
do it."
And then it kind of evolved into a neighbor telling her about a wanted ad, starts off at St. Ambrose and just takes off from there.
Well, to think that now, you've got Lisa Bluter's neighbor from way back in the day to thank for getting her to the coaching life to where she eventually ends up at Iowa and the coach that she turned out to be.
The part of that story that I remember clear as day is her saying, "It could never happen again the way it happened, especially today." Like, yes. It's just, that's not how this works anymore. But what a great old school story it is.
Yeah, because now it's who you know. It has nothing to do necessarily with just being at the right place at the right time. It's who you know most of the time.
Yeah.
So, which explains why Doug Gottlieb is now the coach at Wisconsin Green Bay, you know?
Well, let's chat about that too, because first let's say as a show, congratulations,
yes,
to Lisa Bluter on retirement.
Absolutely.
And we're looking forward to seeing what Jan Jensen does at Iowa. But segue, you bring up Doug Gottlieb. The reason why I want to talk about this, I don't necessarily care to talk about the juggling of his media responsibilities and coaching, which I think is a fascinating thing. I'm not
He's sure gonna do both.
That's what I saw reported.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's even able to be done. I don't know if I would want, as a school, want that to be done.
I imagine that had to be a part of the negotiations. But, that's fascinating to me. I'm curious how that all plays out because I'm pretty sure that's unprecedented. I don't believe we've seen – I mean, we see coaches have their coach show, but we haven't seen somebody with as much media responsibility as Doug Gottlieb juggle that.
Well, and how are you going to cover college football, or how are you going to, because he covers all the sports. Like, it's not just, you know, he's not just a college basketball analyst. He's a sports guy. How do you cover that stuff and still go recruit and still go do your thing for coaching? I don't get it. Wow.
So I'm really curious to see that because I think that's interesting, but I for did sure. see CBS Sports tweet out that Green Bay hiring Doug Gottlieb was the 66th coaching change in D1 basketball this year. Yeah, that's what my reaction was.
Wow.
So we talk about on the player side, the transfer portal and all the fluidity and movement we see with players, where about 40% of college basketball players were in the transfer portal at the Division I level this year. With 66 coaches in what? This is a 360 some odd teams, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's about 20%.
Yeah.
So think about that. Like, I don't know that college basketball will ever be on quite the merry-go-round that it was this offseason. And because I believe the 66 coaching changes is a record. Somebody tweeted out that they thought that that was a record.
If it's not, it's got to be darn close to it. If it's
I mean, you're talking about one out of every five coaches on the move in D1 college basketball this year, and two out of every five college basketball players being on the move. That is unbelievable. And like I said, I don't know that we'll ever see both of them quite this high again, especially at the same time. But it goes to show you, if you feel dizzied by this offseason and what is going on in college basketball, rightfully so, because it's unbelievable how much movement there is.
Well, and we talked about the player side, that this will probably be the pinnacle for the most part. Not to say that there aren't going to be astronomical numbers in my, but this is the COVID year, the last COVID.
Yes, I was going to say, just to make sure in case we have new listeners, this is
which
the
is
last
why
year
there's
COVID eligibility.
Which like Purdue, they lost two guys, but that would have normally been graduated seniors, but they have one more year of COVID eligibility, so they transferred out. And schools are like that to where they're losing some of their graduates, their seniors that have graduated, but they're moving on because they still have one more year. And why not? If you're not a highly touted NBA player or NBA draft guy, why not go get another year's worth? Like Mason Gillis, he's going to Duke. He's getting he's going to have a master's degree by the time he graduates from Duke next year. Why not take that extra year, have a master's walking out of school, not have to pay a penny for it, and still play at a very high level? Why not? So you've got that, but it is mind-boggling that there are 66 coaches, and that is if they leave or get fired is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, the way I saw it written was just coaching changes.
Coaching changes. Okay, wow. That's a ton. Now, I don't know that is going to change. Because it's win now, or we're going to move on to try to get somebody that will. So if anything, you're going to see maybe a little bit more of a shift towards more coaching changes. And in turn, maybe we still have high numbers, but not the record numbers in the portal.
Yeah. I mean, but that blew me away when you're looking at 20% of coaches.
That is amazing. 20%
of players. It's we'll have to do a guide over the summer of who's at where.
That's like the tiebreaker thing. I'm not doing that.
Fair enough.
If you want to put that on your plate for the summer, hey, have at it.
Well, and for the Big Ten, I was actually just trying to think off the top of my head. Have we had any coaching changes this year for the Big
Dusty,
Ten?
Dusty May and, Jake Diebler at Ohio State was officially named, but that was in season. There was one more I was trying to think of, isn't there?
There's USC if you want to count them.
Well, and they're in the Big Ten. They're coming into with a new coach, so technically, yeah, I would say that those would be the three. Musselman, May, and Diebler are our three new coaches in the conference.
That's interesting because the Big Ten too. This is one of the other things. I mean, as far as retention goes and loyalty goes, mm-hmm. the Big Ten does it better than just about anywhere else. It's kind of proven.
Yeah.
There's longer leashes afforded in the Big Ten conference, which is just kind of the philosophy cumulatively. But that's going to be interesting to watch going forward as it clashes with today's climate. Of now, and everything that's going on, all the different factors of NIL and everything else.
Well, and I think that has to do, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think that has to do with kind of what the conference is about. We've talked about it, that many people many schools and universities in the Big Ten, they value the regular season title over any sort of March run. You know, there are a lot of immediacy, like I think Calipari, you know, was tired of getting booted out early in the tournament. So he moved to a school that maybe, hey, it's not going to be a hot seat if they get upset in the tournament in the first round, but they have a longer leash in the aspect of, okay, we value that regular season title, you know, that conference championship over national championship. Not that they don't want to win. And it's not that any school is going to go, don't give me a national championship. No, it's hey, we had one hell of a season because we won the Big Ten. We won the Big Ten, you know? And so I think that has to do with why there's a longer leash when it comes to it.
No, I think that's absolutely fair. Other topics going on, I think one of the biggest ones, selfishly, and you had texted me about this recently, but we're starting to get more and more information about the college football video game finally returning this summer.
Yeah. We're within a month and a half, I think, aren't we? Or at least 2 months, right?
Two months.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say it's coming.
The release is July 19th. so they released that. They released the cover athletes. You can now pre-order, which
you've already done that, right?
Last night I was like galloping around the bedroom explaining like why this was a needed purchase.
And did your wife say, Dalton, calm down?
She's saying, she was like, you know what? get the biggest one. You've talked about this forever. And I was like, a kid on Christmas. I was like, for real? Are you sure?
Now, did she look at you and say, as long as I don't have to go stand in line, I'm okay with buying it right now?
She did make a joke. So for our new listeners who may not be aware, early on, my wife and I were high school sweethearts. And one of our like date nights was a midnight release of
date night, kids. One heck of a date night right there.
Well, I think we were still in high school at the time, but the last version of the NCAA football video game came out. We went at midnight at GameStop and waited in line with like 50 dudes that were just hunched over like boxes of pizza. And she's like, maybe we could order pizza so we can bring back the nostalgia when the game comes out this year. So there you go. That's excellent work.
Well, I love that. Well, two things, you know, and I made this comment when I first found out about it, is the fact that she stood there with you the whole time and didn't say, yeah, this is done. You should have married her, proposed to her right then. But secondly, you know, you've got one heck of a woman when she's like, let's order a pizza just to bring back the memory, because it was something that she cherished and loved too.
I'm going to have to get a 2 liter of Faygo or something to go with it.
Gotta. Now let me ask you that. What Faygo soda are you a fan of?
I'll go blueberry.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew. Ew. Red Ew. Pop. Come on. Faygo Red Pop.
Oh, Red Pop's solid. Red Pop.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've had a Faygo, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and you know what's the kicker? And don't get me wrong. I've told you many times I'm old, okay, in comparison. But when I was playing football in high school, after two-a-days, I would go out to Kaiser's supermarket and buy a 2 liter of Faygo Red Pop, which was 52 cents, right? And drink it after two-a-days. Faygo now is like $3 a 2 liter, and not $3, but like $2 a 2 liter. I'm like, goodness. I haven't been out of high school that long. And it went from 52 cents to $2 to $2.50 a 2 liter. It's absurd.
It's insane. But if you are a college football video game nerd like me, and you're just as excited as me, and you're not quite privied up to the latest information, they are releasing gameplay stuff today. So be on the lookout on social media.
So they're going to show what the gameplay looks like and stuff? Oh,
yes.
You're going to be just trolling all over, aren't you? Checking that out, aren't you?
All I'm going to be doing.
Did you take a personal day, or are you doing it on company time?
I'm saving those for when the game comes out. No, but
well, I know we've said for the first couple of weeks after, you know, we probably are just gonna stream our games, and that's gonna be our show.
That's actually a genius idea. We should put our heads together on
that. It depends on what platform you have.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about the details.
Yeah.
But it's finally here. So that's been something exciting. Yeah. I imagine a lot of Big Ten fans are pretty up and excited for.
The one thing that I love, and we've talked about the game, you know, is what I love about the game, I don't know if any details have come out about how the transfer portal is going to work in the game or anything like that. But
I've heard, and we might learn more today, from what I've heard, it's going to exist. How large of a thing is it? That much we don't really know yet.
Right. So, like, we saw as it progressed, towards the end before they shut down the franchise. You could offer certain levels of scholarships to players in the dynasty mode and that type of thing. But the one thing that I loved was you could create your own school and then pull one of the existing schools out and plug your school into a conference spot and everything. And yeah. I created a school and took it from, you know, obscurity into the national championship, but it was also the only way I ever saw Purdue win a national championship.
That's it. I'm telling you, I think everybody has those stories from that mm-hmm. game. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, why we all in unison are celebrating the return of it finally being.
Well, and I started my college life at Indiana Tech in Fort Wayne. That's where I went to school for my first year. Right. And mm-hmm. they don't have a football team. So that was I started making Indiana Tech as a football team and started working. And I won national championships. And of course, there were schools trying to pull me away from Indiana Tech. And I'm like, no. But a little segue from that. Did you happen to see Indiana Tech made national news in the NAIA World Series the other day?
Mm-mm.
They were up 13-2 in the bottom of the ninth, had two outs and ended up losing.
Oh,
they gave up 12 runs with, so they were up 11. So it would have been 12-3, gave up 12 runs with two outs in the bottom of the ninth in the first round of the NAIA World Series, baseball World Series.
Goodness.
That's brutal. And as a coach, I've been in those games to where you're just like, I'm trying to press every button to get one out. We just need one out. And it just kept snowballing and snowballing. But I've never had an epic collapse like that. It was just like, oh my goodness. You can do nothing but just go, I am so sorry. You know, I don't know how a coach even talks to a team after that and says, you know, you can't kick them while they're down. So you can't say, what in the world were we doing? But at the same time, how do you say anything to them other than, you know what? This is a character builder, you know, I mean, yeah. Really 12 life runs lesson. Unanswered or, you know, with no out, two outs in the inning. They just needed one out. And the team batted through the lineup, scored through the lineup, and won the game.
That's insane.
But yeah, that's how Indiana Tech, the college football game connects to Indiana Tech blowing a 12 run lead or 11 run lead in the ninth.
Well, here, let's I got two other things before we close sure. out. One, video game adjacent. What's the tradition from the Big Ten or maybe from your specific school that you want to see transitioned into the game the best? Like, let's make it your specific school. What's one thing from Purdue you want to see make its way into the game?
Oh, you got to see the drum come out onto the field behind the Boilermaker Express. That's what you got to do.
Okay.
Or the Boilermaker Special. Sorry, not the Express. The Boilermaker Special. You've got to have the world's largest drum come out onto the field as the team comes out. That's the one thing that the few Purdue games that I've seen at Ross-Ade that, you know, I loved watching that. It's pageantry, man. I mean, it's historic, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with it. And that's, I mean,
how about you?
State side, I've got to see Sparty things. Like, it's got to be pretty leaned into that. I'm also just curious, because there's the reports that there have been EA Sports workers on several different campuses or all the different campuses in the last few years, noting down all the different details of game day experiences and whatnot.
So they've been prepping for this for years is what they've been doing.
Yes. So I'm excited to see just to what minute detail everything goes to. But the other thing I wanted to bring up here, Sam,
real quick, another minute detail that I would like to hear on this game is every time Purdue scores, I want to make sure that the train horn comes on, you know, every other,
you know, I don't know if you've heard or learned about like what Chris Fowler has been allowing everybody into. That he's recorded for, I can't remember, I think he said over 100 hours or something ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
All his different like play-by-play bits. But there's also a bunch of different broadcast crews. So it's not going to be just Chris Fowler. Like, based on the level of game that you're playing, you get a somewhat adjacent broadcast crew from. So
if you're like, starting in the SWAC, you're getting, you know, Billy, Bob,
you're not
Joe.
Getting Chris Fowler.
Wow, so they've taken this 11-year layoff and really went all out with it.
That's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of reason to be excited for this and to kind of nerd out. So,
well, and
that's
the improvement gaming has made in that time frame from the last year that they played and the one that you still currently play until the new one comes out to
what sitting right over here
to the one that is going to come out in July. It's going to be night and day almost. Like, it'll be very, don't get me wrong, 11 years ago, it was realistic-ish. This is going to be like you're watching a game on TV. That's how good gaming has gotten. And I'm, you know, preaching to the choir, basically, to a lot of people. But you know, the fact that, you know, my kids are growing up in a world that they have this, and I had to play 8-bit Tecmo Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So real quick, before we say goodbye here, Sam, since we brought up the softball tournament for the Big Ten Conference, the NCAA softball regionals get going today. Mm-hmm. And all four Big Ten teams play today. So I just want to let everybody know, Michigan plays Kentucky at 3:00 in the afternoon. Again, Michigan won the conference tournament this year. Indiana plays Washington at 3:00 as well.
Big Ten matchup.
Yeah, that's right. Penn State plays Texas State at 4:00 in the afternoon. And then the last one, Northwestern takes on St. Francis of Pennsylvania. That first pitch is scheduled for 6:30. And, of course, Northwestern won the Big Ten regular season. They were the number one team out of the Big Ten.
Now, here's I don't know if you saw, and I saw I was watching Texas A&M and Ole Miss playing baseball, and their game got done, and they went into – it was right after the draw, the softball draw come out. 13 of 13 SEC teams made the College World Series. Vanderbilt's the only school in that conference right now that does not have a softball team. And you know how I know that? They showed all of the teams that made it from the SEC, and there was no gold V in it.
That's interesting.
But you'd 13, think all 13 teams.
You think, yeah, that part's fascinating, but you think with all the baseball success that Vanderbilt has, that softball would
sure
just
think
be
so.
Potentially. Wow.
And unless they meant to put 14 and just forgot to put Vanderbilt's logo there, but they said 13, and they even said the number 13. All 13 wow. SEC teams made it, and I'm looking, they put them all up there because 8 of them are nationally seeded. So 8 of 13 are nationally seeded. And I'm sitting there looking, and I'm like, who's not in this? And I'm quickly going through, and I'm like, oh, Vanderbilt's not there. But the fact remains is SEC is pretty dominant when it comes to the softball world. But I also heard an amazing stat, too. Yeah, in baseball. Oklahoma, the 3-time national champion Oklahoma Sooners, in the last 3 years prior, they had lost, 8 total games?
I think so.
And this year they lost 6, and people were wondering what was wrong with Oklahoma. I'm like, are you kidding? They still only lost 6.
Isn't that just the burden of success that always?
Oh my goodness! I would to have their problem as a I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, shame!
Alabama football, Oklahoma softball, UCLA basketball. It's always funny how that all works.
We lost 6 games this year. What's wrong with our team? Oh, they're human. That's what it is. Goodness, come on.
That's funny. But all right. Well, as we close out another episode of Big Talk, Sam, why don't you let everybody know where they can find us?
Almost hit the wrong overlay there. I still have not added the TikToks on here back onto here, but. On the TikToks, Instagrams, and the platform formerly known as Twitter, we are at B1G_talk. It's B1G, not B-I-G, Dalton. Hold the one up. There we go. B1G_talk, big talk. And if you go to Facebook, it's B1G talk, big talk. And it's not all big talk. Again, those individuals are, I'm sure, are lovely people, but they are not us people. So we stream every week on the ASAP network, and we also then are out later that day in podcast form through Lounge Media Group. If you have to see the stream and you missed it live, go to Spotify. That's where our stream is there.
Awesome. Well, a big thank you to all of you for tuning in for another edition of Big Talk, College Sportsman Midwest Perspective, Blue Collar, and Blue Blood. I'm Dalton Shetler for my partner, Sam Sprunger. So long, everybody.
Bring on the bagpiper.